Hi, my name is Nathan Candler. I'm the winemaker at Thomas Fogarty Winery and Vineyard at the northern end of the Santa Cruz Mountains. You can learn more about the winery at www.fogartywinery.com, and that's Fogarty with an A.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain. Welcome to Wine and Dine. You know, many people know the name of Thomas Fogarty Winery and Vineyards for their Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. But today we have the pleasure of meeting Nathan Candler, winemaker, because he's going to be pouring the 2012 Gewürztraminer at the 9th Annual International Alsace Varietals Festival. Of course, it makes sense. And Nathan, I want to ask you at the start here, I understand from Thomas Fogarty website that the focus in the vineyard, Michael Martell, is going to organic and biodynamic. Is that process still in full swing?
Yeah, Lynn, thanks for having me today. It is. It's something that since I've been with a winery for the past 10 years, actually, 2013 was my 10th harvest, we've been toying with and implementing different strategies and practices. And with actually the 2013 vintage, our vineyards were farmed, not certified, but farmed entirely organically. So all the products used were OMRI certified.
Okay.
It is a direction we're headed.
You know, with this, as we were talking before we started recording, this unprecedented drought, or at least in people's lifetimes right now, this very scary drought that's affecting the West Coast, at least I would think, and maybe I'm wrong, from a positive spin, is that it's killing some insects that might be a problem in the vineyard?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it that way. You know, we do a lot of work in the vineyard as far as organics and trying to encourage a diversity of insects and bacteria and fungus.
Yep.
You know, the biggest issue for us is just, you know, trying to figure out where the water is going to come from.
And oh, yes.
It's going to come.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, isn't that amazing that some people, they just take it so for granted, and it's the most important commodity, especially out west.
It is. It's wild. And we're actually tying that back to our conversation about organics and biodynamics. One of the things that we've been doing very well in the vineyard the last couple of years is increasing our use of cover cropping. We purchased a machine called a spader, which is kind of a very modern disc for cultivating the vineyard, and that actually helps trap moisture in the soil. So a lot of the things we've been doing the past couple of years should give us a little bit of an advantage in this really dry season.
Okay, so the Gewürztraminer, Thomas Fogarty 2012 Gewürztraminer, Monterey County, from the, is it Scheid Viento Vineyard?
It is, yeah. The Scheid family are a large family grower in sort of the west, mostly in the western side of the Salinas Valley. And we've been working with them since about 2006.
You know, 13.3% alcohol is reasonable. There are Gewürztraminers out there that are way higher than that.
You know, Gewürztraminer is a little bit of a misunderstood grape. A lot of people, because it's an aromatic white with ties to Alsace in Germany, they think of it as a high-acid grape. But in reality, it's actually a very low-acid, early-ripening grape. So if you're not careful, it can certainly get away from you in the vineyard. And one of the things that we've done recently to try to kind of prevent, you know, making sort of an overripe or flabby wine is actually make multiple passes through the vineyard. So we pick at two different times. And one of them is usually a little bit lower in ripeness, and that kind of helps preserve brightness and acidity and kind of keep the alcohol in check.
Definitely. Oh, that's such a very good strategy. And this is, in fact, dry. With only 0.5% residual sugar, this is dry.
It is. It's usually under, almost every year, it's under 0.5% or 5 grams per liter. And that really, for us, is the key, is trying to find that balance. If you go bone dry to 0 grams, sometimes the wines can be a little bitter and phenolic.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, I'm curious. My very first chat today was with Elena Volk of Tramin, Alto Adige.
Yeah.
And Tramin meaning the village of Tramin where Gewürztraminer originated. And she, hands down, says the number one descriptor for her Gewürztraminer is rose petal. But for your Gewürztraminer, it's more lychee fruit?
It can be, especially in warmer vintages. I think that lychee nut character is expressed. But the Gewürztraminer is just, you know, it's one of the most expressive of the, you know, main varieties, if you will, of grapes in the world. There's just, you know, a magnitude of flavors, from ginger and rose and jasmine.
Yeah, ginger. Oh, that's, and jasmine, thanks for bringing that up, definitely. So do you consume Gewurztraminer at home, or are you more a Chardonnay Pinot Noir person?
I'm an equal opportunity wine drinker, so we a little bit of everything. I think Gewurztraminer, especially with food, with really interesting, but oftentimes Eastern kind of flavors, is one of the, you know, the more interesting food wines.
That's what I was going to ask you. So what kind of food? So you're talking about things from like India or Asia?
Yeah, you know, one of the greatest wine dinners we ever did here at Fogarty was with an Indian restaurant. For whatever reason, some of those spices that, you know, that are pretty typical to cuisines from that area just really shine.
Is it too cliche to just open a bottle with a good old-fashioned sausage or bratwurst sandwich?
You know, I think actually that maybe the younger generation doesn't take advantage of that enough. I mean, I think most times people have thought that Gewurz is like the wine for Chinese takeout, when
right.
actuality, no, like sausages and, you know, pork. It's a fantastic match for sort of that choucroute family of
Oh, yes. Oh, that sounds so good. What are you going to be drinking for the Super Bowl?
For the Super Bowl, I'm going to be on a flight back from Utah, coming back from the mountains. So
you're skiing.
I am. My wife and I actually are taking a trip to Utah to go skiing, so I may not...
Even catch it.
I may not catch the Super Bowl, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay, so this football is not a big focus in your life. For me, it's not, certainly. But Thomas Fogarty, Winery and Vineyards, I just love the fact that it's such, when you think of the Santa Cruz Mountains, that's got to be the first, if not one of the first wineries that anybody thinks of.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, the roster of historic wineries in the Santa Cruz Mountains, you know, reads pretty long and pretty rich in the history of California wine, with, you know, Ridge, Montebello, Mount Eden Vineyard, David Bruce. I mean, there's some very historic properties here, and we're to be considered a part of them, I think, is an honor. Well, thank you.
Nathan, tell people something that I didn't say when we were, before we started recording. Where are you originally from?
I actually grew up in Lansing, Michigan. My father had been involved in state government in the state of Michigan for a number of years. So I grew up in Lansing, Michigan. I spent some time at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and eventually sort of decided that I wanted to get into the wine industry. So I packed up my car and drove to Santa Rosa, California in 1999. And began studying grape growing, mostly at the Santa Rosa Junior College, and working in wineries and vineyards and just kind of trying to get my hands dirty and learn. I ended up finishing a winemaking degree at Fresno State and have been working in the Santa Cruz Mountains almost ever since.
I think you're so smart for studying grape growing first rather than winemaking.
You know, I think that explains a little bit about my philosophy in making wine, is that a little cliche again to say everything starts in the vineyard, but it really does. And the more time I spend in the vineyard, and the more more passes through the vineyard, the more trips I spend just walking, I feel like the better winemaker I am.
I like your quote from your, and listeners might be interested to hear that Nathan also makes wine under his own label called Precedent, that you say your ultimate goal is to foster the voice of the soil into your glass of wine.
Yeah, you know, there's so many fascinating vineyards in California. My day job here at Thomas Fogarty is very focused on these site-specific Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs that we grow here. But I've always been interested in these other, you know, unique sites and oftentimes kind of misunderstood varieties. I've been able to work with some really old vine Zinfandel, old vine Riesling. It's been really intellectually. And
old vine Riesling?
Yeah, 50-year-old head-trained Riesling in near Calera's winery in the Central Coast.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is. So you're definitely a geek. You're an academic person. I understand that. Nathan Candler, we'd like to thank you so very much for your time this week on Wine and Dine.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn. This is a real pleasure.
Nathan Candler is winemaker for Thomas Fogarty Winery and Vineyards. We will have links up for you to learn more.
Hello, my name is Michael Martella. I'm here for Thomas Fogarty Winery and also Michael Martella Wines. We're in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and I hope you have a chance to try our state Chardonnay and a state Pinot Noir. If you want to learn more about Thomas Fogarty Winery and Martella Wines, go online at thomasfogartywinery.com and keep on listening to Lynn at Wine and Dine.
You're listening to iWine Radio.